www.ChristianBrotherhood.com.
Hope you're doing well this morning. It's been a pretty complicated week for a lot of people. It kind of started for me back a couple of weeks ago. My daughter Taryn was in a car accident. She's okay. I'm going to just get that out there right away. She's fine. But she was stopped at a traffic light and was hit from behind and pushed into the car in front of her. And her vehicle was damaged, both the front and the back, of course. And, of course, by an uninsured driver. And the car was determined to be total. So over the last couple of weeks, we've been trying to sort that out with the insurance company and all of that. And doing it from, you know, over 1,000 miles away, which has been a little bit tricky. And then it's interesting because Taryn herself is self-employed. So she's working basically freelance jobs, a bunch of part-time jobs, and it's going well. But it's in film and media areas, and she's been doing that for under a year. So it turns out that she doesn't have like enough history to get pre-approved for a loan as a self-employed person. Fortunately, she saved enough money to make like a new purchase, but to make things more complicated, she still has a Wisconsin driver's license. Her official residence is still considered Wisconsin because she's living in this church housing situation, and that isn't considered a legal point of residence. So she had a hard enough time just opening a bank account to be able to put money in a bank while she was in Florida, and now she's like dealing with license plates and registration and a new car purchase and changing over her license itself. And it's been really weird and kind of stressful and totally time-consuming for both her and us as we've just tried to help her walk through it. One of my closest friends, different story, but one of my closest friends has been working through physical issues with their pet and found out last week that the prognosis was an untreatable cancer and it had to be put down. The next day I find out about a woman who I used to coach soccer with who nearly died from complications in surgery. She's a single mom of three kids and they lost their dad, her husband, to cancer over a year ago, just about a year ago. Same day, another woman that I know from years ago got a pretty severe diagnosis for cancer as well. And then Monday came, right? I'm hearing the story, and Carson was talking about it this morning, of being at work and basically having things cracking around him and destruction being, he's okay, he's here, he's up there, right? And everyone in that situation with the tornadoes. My brother's stepson lived near there, had a terrible time getting to his house, turned out to be okay, but had a tree fall on a boat, but mostly everything was okay, a few trees down. One family from our church had a tree down on their garage, although thankfully the damage was minimal. So it seems many people that I know gave reports that weren't so good, though, right? Just talked about friends and family members that were in the storm's path who suffered major damage. Now, fortunately, in all of this, as you're reading about it, there seems to be very few injuries and no fatalities, which is amazing, according to reports. But that was Monday and the aftermath of that. And there's more. Another man that I know lost his job after really struggling to get back on his feet. And found out a neighbor's husband of ours had died a few months back. Never really told anybody. We didn't see him very much. But nobody really knew. And there's just like the everyday stress of things going on around us, right? Our jobs, our lives, our circumstances, our schedules, sickness, disease, pain, loss, struggle. It can get pretty overwhelming. And so as all this was going on, Bob and I were talking and texting about a number of things this week, and I just sent him a message back. This week's theme, anxiety and eternity. Just seems fitting that that's where we're at in the Sermon on the Mount. Did not plan this, right? Didn't plan it. But I think today's passage, where we're going to be going, is just a reminder that there's something far more important than the earthly things, the things of this world. And as followers of Jesus who have a kingdom heart, that's really where our focus needs to be. So we are at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. If you have your Bibles and want to turn there, it's a pretty good chunk of scripture that we'll be covering this morning. We will have the verses on the screen as well, but if you want to follow along, that's where we're headed. Matthew 6, 19 through 34. And Jesus, teaching here says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he either will hate the one and love the other, or will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. It is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Father God, as we dive into your text today, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would move in our spirits, and that in our minds we would grow. Most importantly, God, we want to be surrendered and submitted to you in all areas of our life. And as we consider these things this morning, we pray that you would speak and that we would just have a spirit that would listen. We love you. We want to honor you. We want to follow you. We want to obey you. We want to grow in what it means to reflect your heart. So help us to do that. Help us to be challenged in this morning, in the ways that you need us to. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to kind of work through this a little bit, but we are going to jump around to a number of other passages that are related. So buckle up. verse 19 through 21. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You know, when we hear Jesus say something like this, I think we probably need to ask ourselves, what are we most focused on in life? Right? What are we most focused on in life? Because Jesus says here that our focus shouldn't even be on this life in the first place. Instead, we should be laying up treasures in heaven. If you want to think about that, everything that we experience here on earth, anything we accumulate, anything we spend time building, fixing, buying, saving, investing in, it will not go with us into the afterlife. At least not if it's an earthly thing. But the things we spend time building, fixing, buying, saving, investing in will matter if it has to do with the kingdom of God, because we'll be laying up treasures in heaven, right? I've said this many times, but if we ask ourselves what we really care about, we could look at how we spend our money, right? What do we value most? We'll look at how we spend our time. Those two things will tell you a lot about where your treasure really is. And whatever you treasure most is where your heart is really at, Jesus says. Now, if our heart is set on Jesus, eternal things, kingdom priorities, our time and our money are going to reflect that. If it's not set on Jesus, eternal things and kingdom priorities, then our time and money won't reflect that either. When our focus is on earthly things as Christians, then we've lost the plot. We're chasing after the wrong things. We have this tendency to think that the stuff of earth that we accumulate is ours, right? Like we're entitled to it now. We earned it. But the fact is that's not really true. Even what we do have on this earth is a gift of God, all of it. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. We convince ourselves that it's ours, that we earned it, that we did that. But in reality, we don't even have breath in our lungs or air to breathe or lungs to breathe with apart from God. Right? It's all a blessing from Him. Some people realize that, and others never do. Even as Christians, though, I think we often miss the point of what God blesses us with. Right? His blessing is not just meant for us. It is meant to be used for His glory and for the benefit of others. Why? Because when we live with that kind of generosity, it shows people what His heart is like. Right? Whenever we become selfish, we keep God's blessing for ourselves and then we fail to reflect His heart. And what's also interesting is that sometimes in a twisted way of thinking, oftentimes the blessings of God that we receive become the very things we start living for. Like we're blessed with, and these are not necessarily even just financial things, but we're blessed with influence, but we become obsessed with gaining more followers. We're blessed with money and we become obsessed with being richer. We're blessed with material things and we become obsessed with buying more and more things, even when we have more than we need. We're blessed maybe with a position of authority and influence and impact, and we become obsessed with gaining more power. In other words, we start living for the blessing instead of the one who blessed us in the first place. And so we become obsessed with all these earthly things instead of the kingdom of God. And our pursuit of those earthly things traps us, right? It gets us because it then demands our attention and our effort and our investment to maintain it and to grow what we have even more. And I was thinking about that, and just here's one key idea that we can take away today. Don't let God's blessing lead to obsessing, right? Don't, by the way, no AI used to form that right there, I'm just saying. Don't let God's blessing lead to obsessing, right? And Paul wrote to Timothy about that, 1 Timothy 6:6-9. He wrote to Timothy, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we'll be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Like, if we aren't honoring God with our blessings, especially the material things, then it actually starts pulling us away from following Jesus. And that's why a few verses later, he writes this in verses 17 through 19, same chapter. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of which is truly that which is truly life. And I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to get that, and I stumble on the word rich, and I think, oh, good thing he's not talking about me. Right? I'm not rich. That guy, that woman, they're rich. Oh, no, it's definitely talking about you and me. I mean, let me ask you, do you have a job? Do you have a full-time job? Then you're probably rich by the world's standards. Maybe it doesn't seem that way here in the United States, but on a global level, you are. But I'm not rich, we say. Right? Like, we often use that phrase to explain why we aren't able to give more than we are, or why we aren't able to help others more than we do. We think, God's not talking about me. He's talking about the really, really rich people. Top 1% are those who earn over $125,000 per year on a global level. Top 1% in the world. The top 10% earn over $32,000 per year globally. By the way, the top 10% of adults globally own roughly about 85% of all the household wealth in the world. 10% own 85%. If we earn more than $32,000 per year globally, that's us. Top 25%, around $15,000 per year globally. Which means that even having a full-time job that is a minimum wage job puts you in the top 25% of income earners globally in the world. I heard one pastor say it this way: if you had your current job and lived in Africa, you'd be among the wealthiest people on the continent. Most of us in this church, even those, and I would say most people in America, even those who are seemingly struggling, are in the top 25% in the world for income globally. But we don't give very much to God's eternal purposes because we're not rich. But I'm not rich. God's not talking about me, right? If God's not talking about us who are among the top 25% or 10% or maybe even the 1% of the wealthiest people in the world, then who is he talking about? I don't know. I start to look at those things and I'm like, it's pretty convicting, isn't it? Remember the story of the rich young ruler who came up to Jesus and asked, what do I have to do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, oh, sell all you have, give your money to the poor, and then come and follow me. Jesus was offering him the thing that he needed most, but his grip on material things was way too tight, and he wouldn't or couldn't let go of his possessions to take hold of the most important thing that he could ever have. Jesus told his followers this. He said to his disciples, Matthew 19, Truly I say to you, verse 23, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. What is he saying? Don't let God's blessing lead to obsessing. Be willing to give. Be willing to let it go. Because the fact is it is easy for us to let God's blessing lead to obsessing. It's easy to forget that we have been blessed by God so generously in so many ways, but even especially in material things as he's talking about here. If we're going to reflect his heart, then we should keep our eyes on eternity, not earthly things. And we should be using his blessing for the sake of the kingdom, of building his kingdom, and to benefit others. Okay, here's what he says next in his teaching, though. Matthew 6, 22 through 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? I don't know, it might seem like he's shifted course here and began to talk about something else. But let's ask ourselves, what is he really saying here? Well, we often think we've got it straight when it comes to our eternal priorities. But in reality, we're getting it wrong. And that's a real problem. We say we live for eternity, for Jesus, for the kingdom, for God's purposes in the world, but our heart is really consumed with material stuff, and our life shows that we're constantly busy with earthly things instead of godly ones. And if we think we're okay, but we're really not, then we're in a bad place. If then the light in you is darkness, it's actually darkness, how great is the darkness? Because we can't even tell anymore. So often we think we're okay in this area, but we're not. Because where our heart is, there our treasure is going to be also. And then he says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Verse 25, therefore, right? Because of everything that Jesus just said about keeping eternity as our focus and laying up treasures in heaven instead of here on earth. Therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life. What you'll eat or what you'll drink or your body, what you'll put on, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not more of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow's thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, which is just another way of saying those who don't believe in God, who don't know God in Jesus' day, the Gentiles seek after those things. And your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I just think we need to hear that whole chunk of what Jesus said and put it in the context of what he's talking about. It's interesting because we've talked about anxiety a number of times in recent series and different messages that have happened over the last year. So we're not going to get into the anxiety part of it too much. But specifically, this passage is talking about being anxious about food and drink and clothing, which are basic needs in life. And Jesus says, don't be anxious about these things. Now, I want to be really, really clear. Jesus isn't saying we don't need those things. He even emphasized that. Your Father knows that you need them all. God knows that. We need them. God knows that. Whether we're facing day-to-day needs like food and clothing, or let's expand that out, even thinking about things like the stress at work, the loss of a loved one, a collapsed roof, a terrible prognosis, God cares deeply about us. He wants us to take these things, these needs, to Him. A couple of weeks ago, Scott Westfall talked about Jesus teaching his followers to pray, the passage right before this. And he said we should pray for what we need. Give us this day our daily bread. Right? God, please give us what we need. So he cares about our needs. He wants us to come to him with those needs. He even said that God knows what we need before we even ask him. But he still wants us to come to him anyway about those things. He wants us, though, to trust him for those needs rather than being anxious about them or obsessing over them. If we're focused on living for Jesus, for his kingdom, and for eternity, then we can trust he'll provide for our needs. Now, we might not get everything we want, but he will provide for our needs. Trust him, because God cares about us. Matthew 10, Jesus is teaching again, and he says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. I would just say, look, whenever you wonder if God cares about you, remember that. Another key idea here, you are worth at least a few sparrows to God. Right? Also, no AI on that point. You are worth at least a few sparrows to God. Like, God cares deeply for you. He wants you, though, to trust him for what you need. And instead of being anxious for earthly things, he said, put your focus on other things. Right? Matthew 6, 33, if we could bring that verse up again. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So instead of being anxious for these things, I mean, take them to God. Ask him for what you need. He cares. He wants you to take it to him. But instead of being anxious for it, he says, put your focus here. Seek first the kingdom, his work in the world, and his righteousness. Right? Living the way that he wants us to. In following faith in Jesus. Right? Being right with God through our faith. His kingdom and his righteousness, that's where our focus should be. And so if there's kind of a closer point that I could kind of pull together for all this, it's this point here. Don't stress or obsess over earthly things. Focus on God's kingdom and his righteousness and trust him for what you need. Okay, don't stress or obsess over earthly things. Focus on God's kingdom and his righteousness and trust him for what you need. I know that's a mouthful. That's not like an easy, quick, you know, you are worth more than a few sparrows to God. But it's so true, right? And it kind of sums up what Jesus is talking about here. We shouldn't be stressed about earthly things. We shouldn't be obsessed with them either. We should be asking God, what do you want me to do with what you've given me? How can I honor you and help build up the kingdom with what you've blessed me with? And the scary part is, if we're willing to ask him that honestly, with where we're at right now, not just assuming that we're all good, but if we're willing to ask him that honestly with where we're at right now, chances are he's going to ask you to loosen your grip on whatever it is you have and be willing to release it for his purposes. For his purposes in the world, and for the sake of people around you. He wants you to keep your eyes focused on eternity and pursuing the kingdom of God. Because if our eyes are on anything else, then we're kind of missing the whole point. Don't stress or obsess over earthly things. Focus on God's kingdom and his righteousness and trust him for what you need. You know, just kind of bringing this full circle in a practical way, with all the devastation that's gone on around us this past week, I hope that you're finding ways to bless those in need right now. Like, we've put links out to everyone, texted some people, sent out links online, on Facebook, specifically just encouraging you to get connected with Samaritan's Purse. You can sign up to serve in the community. They have the know-how. You provide the help. But there are a lot of ways that you can give. It might be financially to what's happened. And there are other also opportunities. Scott will mention, you know, there's a Fox Valley Volunteers who's coordinating efforts. So if you can't get plugged in through Samaritan's Purse, you can do that. And I just want to put in a plug for, please take time to do it. Because so often as Christians, we think, well, I just really don't see God opening doors to have spiritual conversations with people or impact people with the gospel. Here's your chance. Right? Here's your chance. And it's not in some far-off place, not in the jungles of Africa or wherever. It's right next door. It's right here in our community. We have an opportunity to serve. We have an opportunity to give. It might lead to an opportunity to pray with people, to have spiritual conversations, to encourage them, to point them to Jesus. But it's right now. Don't miss the opportunity to shine a light in this world because you waited too long, right? Like, maybe this has been, I don't know, maybe this has been a challenging passage for you. I know it is for me. I've had some conversations with Sherry even about this, of things that I kind of feel like God might be poking at my heart a little bit about, and I'm going, I don't want to do that. That can happen. If we're honest with him, we like our space. We like our stuff. We like keeping our time for ourselves. And to let go of those things for God's purposes and the benefit of others can be hard, but it's part of what it means to actually follow Jesus, right? He calls us to do this. So I just want to encourage you as we close, don't miss the opportunity that is right in front of us all right now, okay? I'm going to pray, and if the worship team wants to come back up, we're going to close in worship. Lord God, I know that as we kind of close this message, it might feel a little bit more like an infomercial, but the reality is that you have blessed us, and we know that. And it might be to different degrees for each one of us. But what we have in you is really what makes us rich. And you long for our focus to be on eternity, on the kingdom. And Lord God, I pray this morning that as maybe you've been stirring in our hearts something about giving more, serving more, sharing you more, whatever it is, I pray that we would be obedient to you, that we wouldn't ignore that prompting and that poking that you're doing on our hearts, but that we'd be willing to step in faith to wherever it is you're asking us to go, whatever it is you're asking us to do. Lord, help us to be generous. Not just financially, although financially, to give to your purposes, to give to those in need, but with our time, with our energy, with our efforts, with our talents, with everything that you've blessed us with, because it's not really ours, it's yours. Everything that we have is a gift from you. And so we pray that you would continue to remind us, to prompt us, to use our gifts for your purposes so that our eyes can be kept on eternity. That we can be not focused on storing up treasures here on this earth, but treasures in heaven. Just give us your heart, a heart that longs for people to know you and is willing to do whatever it takes. You gave your son Jesus, who gave his life for us, died a death he didn't deserve so we could be made right with you. There is no greater gift than anyone could give. And you've done that, and you desire our hearts to reflect you. So help us to be that kind of person, again, whose eyes are on eternity, who isn't stressing or obsessing about the stuff of this world, but who is just willing to give extensively of ourselves and of what you've blessed us with for the sake of those around us. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. In the name of Christ, we pray these things.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.